For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
The responsibility that I have is to put together a team, and a team that complements each other, a team that fits, a team that will give us the best opportunity for success. And so, you know, whatever theories that might be out there, you know, they're just that. But that's my responsibility. And it's tough. It's tough to, you know, have conversations, tell people that they're not on the team. And so I know I talked about that in the past, but I just think that speaks in general. Like, I'm trying to win, and I'm trying to put together the right pieces that fit and give us a chance to win.
Final hour, KJ Carson here on WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. That's USA Basketball's Grant Hill on the Dan Patrick Show on Friday. And part of his comments you didn't hear there is that he says, I love me a good conspiracy, which prompted Jaylen Brown this morning on Twitter. I know that's where we're at in this world. This morning on Twitter. Quote, Jaylen Brown, Grant Hill calling me a conspiracy theorist is disappointing. I've been a VP since I was 21 years old. I have a great understanding. What's fascinating about Jaylen Brown's response is, in all of the hubbubaloo and back and forth that's going on about this scenario, this is the first time that Jaylen Brown, I can recall, used the proper noun, person, place, or thing. He called out Grant Hill by name. And even though Grant Hill didn't say Jaylen Brown is a conspiracy theorist, he did say, I love me a good conspiracy, feeding into this frenzy, which is, I thought, was unfortunate, and I worried would come to a head and come to where it is now, where now this becomes a conversation about Grant Hill versus Jaylen Brown. And what bothers me is these are two highly intelligent guys. I've known Grant Hill since I was 15. The guy my mom used to date lived two doors down from him. I don't know if you've ever gone on an excursion with your mom and she's going to visit her boyfriend's family and they're getting serious and you're bored listening to a Cure tape in Run DMC. You're like, are there any kids here? There's a kid named Grant. He lives two doors down. That's how far back. No, it was not like we talked last week. But then in Jaylen Brown, you see a young, progressive thinker who puts not only his money to his actions, but speaks upon actions that he believes are his causes. There does not feel anything disingenuous about him. I could even say the same thing about LeBron and his personal causes that he does. I just have some more issues with LeBron professionally and some of the decisions that he pushes on people. But I think if we're talking about this is Team USA, why would you be concerned about what a person may think being in the way of what you need? Now, again, this all comes about if, let's just say, Drew Holiday was the person who decided that they had to come back from injury and had to remove themselves from Team USA. Derek White would be I wouldn't even say the automatic answer, but he'd be like, gosh, there's an intelligence and a brilliance there by having him replace Drew Holiday because those two guys can do the same thing, defend. You would say that, hey, while that Drew Holiday is probably a better defender than Derek White, Derek White is one of your top defenders in the league and in, on the international stage can do what Drew Holiday was going to do if he had stayed. But you remove Kawhi Leonard, a swing, hybrid 3-4 that can defend, and you'd probably say Jaylen Brown could provide you better offense right now than what Kawhi Leonard has been able to provide here the last year and a half when he's played. That's the part that people are really hung up on in this whole thing that's really, really getting out of hand a bit. Wouldn't Jaylen Brown be the ideal guy to replace Kawhi Leonard if whatever Kawhi Leonard was doing on that team? And look, if Jaylen Brown doesn't get a ton of minutes on this team, that's fine because it didn't look like Kawhi Leonard was either. But then Grant Hill, further in this Dan Patrick conversation, said, hey, because what they were able to see Bam Adebayo do at the power forward has now influenced why they went the way they went. What, power forward? Okay, because we already know that Kevin Durant has just been cleared to come back and play now. So if that was the case, then maybe you're like, wait, why not go and get Kevin Durant's replacement instead of trying to play this mess somewhere, you know, now trying to make it closer to a forward? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And so part of me thinks that maybe you don't want Jaylen Brown out there because it is an election year, and it seems like every election year we get to in this country, it becomes more and more super intense that if someone drops a pin, someone may have an argument about that pin's origins and its beliefs. So understanding that is at play, maybe that's a backroom conversation that you have with your players. We're not here to tell you what to discuss, but recognize the room and the situation that's happening. Because anything that's said wrong, the Olympics started yesterday, and I have to say this. Boy, they used to be much more exciting when you only had three or four channels. Now it's almost kind of like, what is the most obscure thing I could find? And now I find myself yesterday watching fencing. Because I'm like, there's nothing else on. I cannot wait for... Man, I wish this Yankee Red Sox game started it at 3. It would have been finished by 8. But yeah, the Olympics doesn't... I mean, it's... I think it's a lot more hype, and then when you get to the final aspect of it, The French-Brazil game wasn't the worst thing in the world to watch yesterday, but I think I had to watch it on CNBC. So that's the other part of it. And of course, there's a six-hour difference between France and here. So if you're concerned about something said 6 hours ahead over there by Jaylen Brown, or he answers a question from someone of the media, Grant Hill, that is your job to kind of handle that behind closed doors. Once you get into like, hey, I love a good conspiracy theory too, now you're talking about a person in a situation who's saying that, look, it's not a conspiracy theory. It may be something to it of why he's not on the team. I can hear people say, oh, he's a crybaby, oh, he's this, or he's that. I'm just saying, was Jaylen Brown probably the best person to replace Kawhi Leonard? And I think the answer is yes. That's just strictly basketball. Now, if you look at the women's team, I mean, you probably have to add a search dog along, you know, like a sniffing dog, drug dog on that team just to make sure that someone on the plane is on the up and up. But you're concerned about what Jaylen Brown may or may not say? The women's team has a person that you can ask them one question. It's political. So if you're concerned about that, then how come Brittany Griner's not on the women's team? She is. It's Team USA Basketball, so everybody's pretty much in the same room. Now, if you're concerned that, hey, you've got Griner and you've got Jaylen Brown over there, and they both may say something, I would probably go with the one that, I don't know, hasn't already had the international incident. That's just me. Call it what it is. But to say, oh, it's his relationship with Nike and he wears Adidas, it's not costing Anthony Edwards any time. It's not. He wears Adidas. So, like, that kind of X's out that theory. Oh, what he might say. Well, you know, the things that Jaylen Brown has been the most vocal about are not things that are at the front and center of the news cycle right now. Things that have been discussed in the past. And if you're going to be one of those journalists who brings up those things from 2-3 years ago to try and make it a current discussion, then everybody can read the room and know why you're asking that question. So don't, if you're USA Basketball, why not just be completely honest and say, we did not want Jaylen Brown for non-basketball reasons. If you say that, you don't have to say anymore. But if you keep saying, well, this piece here and this piece over there, and no, you haven't matched the puzzle pieces. I'm not buying into, or will I feed into, a narrative that some are trying to push. You know, maybe Tatum didn't really want him. So people are asking him questions about Tatum if he felt like, you know, he should have been more involved in the communication. But just stop that. Stop that. Just give us an overview that he's not on the team because of non-basketball reasons. If you say, what are those reasons? You say those are confidential amongst Team USA Basketball. So we're telling you it's not for a basketball reason. But if you're telling us it's a basketball reason, then guess what? We've got the right to continually ask why the Eastern Conference and NBA Finals guy is not over there and the guy who came off the team plays the same damn position. Just be honest. Just be honest. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We've got to talk Red Sox trade deadlines coming up Tuesday at 6. What happened last night at Fenway scares me a bit. I'll tell you why and what maybe the Red Sox need to do here, like today. But right now it's time to trend with Jacob.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox were defeated by the New York Yankees in extra innings last night in the 10th inning by a score of 11-8. In the 9th inning, the Yankees tied the score at 8 runs apiece. Cutter Crawford went 4 2/3 innings and let up 5. Red Sox are back in action tonight, and don't fear, Alex Cora had this to say after the game.
Just like theirs, right? I mean, that's what happens when you play the Yankees, right? Their pitching staff is probably the same as us. So tomorrow we got the right guy on the mound, you know, and we need him to go deep. So we'll be okay.
They're back in action again tonight at 7:10 on the Shaw's and Stark Market. Red Sox Radio Network Tanner Houck is on the mound for the Sox opposite Carlos Rodon. Cooper Boardman has the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:10. Mass Mutual, insurance, planning, investments. Elsewhere in the MLB, the trade deadline is quickly approaching. Yesterday, there were trades aplenty. The Yankees traded for Jazz Chisholm Jr. and sent 3 prospects to the Marlins over in Queens. The Mets traded for Jesse Winker yesterday from the Washington Nationals. The Red Sox acquired backup catcher Danny Jansen from the Blue Jays. He's batting .212 on the season. In the Olympics, the U.S. has 5 medals so far. Today, there's a bunch of different sports. The U.S. men's basketball team is playing just about right now. Their starters, Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, LeBron James, and Joel Embiid. My name is Jacob Lassner, and that is what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Never everybody up here at Fenway Park with two down in the bottom of this 10th inning. 1-2 the pitch. Swinging a ground ball to first. LeMahieu has it. He'll take it to the bag. He wins the foot race, and the ball game is over. Yankees win it 11-8. The Sox were one out away in the ninth from a really great win. They couldn't get it done, and the Yankees have knotted this three-game series at a game apiece. Too much Judge and Torres late in the game, and the Red Sox bullpen stretched too thin. 11-8, the final score.
Thank you for starting your Sunday with WEEI. KJ here. Thank you. Missed any of the show? The Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI. It'll bring you right here. You can play the show in chapters. And you missed any of the shows throughout the entire weekend, you can go back and hear them. Heart and Shine coming up at 12 noon. That's the final call from last night's game. And you know what the final call should have sounded like? And here's the 1-2 pitch to Grisham. Strike three. Sox win it 9-8. Save Kenley Jansen. Didn't happen.
This is not great.
Yeah, look. I know some people are like, look, Jansen is he pitched, he got the save Friday night. But, you know, if I call you on you Saturday and I'm putting you in on a save situation, I need you to get the save again. This was so key. And here's my concern. It's totally interesting where the conversation has been about what the Red Sox do at the trade deadline as we started having the conversation about what the Red Sox do. So initially it started like they need a frontline pitcher to get them through six, the starters that have been pretty much amazing. They're in territory they've never been in before in their careers in terms of innings. These guys are starting to maybe lose a bit of gas. You saw that at the end of right before the All-Star break. And you're like, okay, maybe if they do get another frontline starter, my argument at that time was, hey, maybe the right-hand bat was a little more important because the right-hand bat can play every day. This frontline starter is only going to show up every 4 or 5 days. That there was still some everyday help you needed, and it was against the left-handed pitching. Then it started to gravitate to, oh, damn, this middle relief is looking pretty bad. And I'm not saying that isn't still somewhat of the case, but it's like, uh-oh, that's where maybe the real leakage is. So maybe get some middle relief help in there, get another arm. Martin is down. That was a key loss. But if you can get another arm in there, those 6, 7, 8 innings that were starting to leak, and it happened last night, could be addressed, and you wouldn't have to feel like, okay, getting if you can just get some control there and get to Jansen to close out the game, you could say, hey, the game could be closed out. Now the conversation is, man, Jansen needs some help. You might have to go to the two reliever guy situation. Because if the bats are there and the middle relief is pretty much kind of piecing some things together, look, Bernardino looked good last night, previous start, you're kind of like, nah. Can you really blame Anderson on how the game ended last night? It's not on his arm. I mean, my goodness, when you come in, you start with a guy at second, and Judge is going to be the second guy that comes up. You got to make some decisions. And you just got burnt. And then got rocked. Right? Because then you're like, hey, if they can hold this to one run, you almost felt like, hey, at the bottom of the 10th, Rafaela probably has a really good chance to steal third. I mean, I'm not Rafaela. But Anderson has a real good chance to steal third. And now you might be with no outs, with a man on third, and can tie the game back up again. But when it got to Jansen, look really good getting Judge out. Look really good. Like, I don't even think Judge was really aware. I don't think he thought he was going to be pitched to. But then just fell apart with Grisham there. You felt like okay, when Grisham hits that weak foul ball that just taps right there at the plate and doesn't go anywhere. You know what I screamed at the TV, Jacob? Throw the ball in the damn dirt. Make him chase, do something. Because the cutter would seem to be more effective if it's going downward than just coming just like George Jetson mobile, like smack. Yeah, I know people are like, well, Tyler O'Neill, that was just a bad fielding play. And I would say, really, we're going to put this on Tyler O'Neill after what Tyler O'Neill did last night in the game and what he's been doing this season? You know, he was supposed to be kind of the Adam Duvall this season, and now you have to like, gosh, do we may really have to sign this guy as part of the future of this team. I'm not concerned about, now maybe the communication As an outfielder, you always defer to center fielder. If Duran has a better bead on the ball, he should call it off because he's got a better angle to get to the wall and be able to expose his open glove side to get to that ball versus O'Neal may potentially have to jump. We already had one guy jump into the stands, and I don't know if you saw that closely. When Abreu went into the stands, Jacob, you see that Yankee fan kind of touch his glove as the play was still developing? Did you see that?
That was unbelievable. I mean, yeah. That if he made that catch, and he had it all the way till the end, it just fell out of his glove. I mean, the Yankee fan could definitely have had something to do with it.
I mean, the fan didn't pull the ball out of his glove, but he did reach down and touch his glove before the play, whether the play was over or not, was determined. So that should at least be some form of player of fan interference, because there's no reason to grab his glove. If you go back and look at the home run again, watch the Yankee fan. This is after now. True. Abreu, you could clearly say, no longer had the ball, but the ump had not come and determined the play yet. A Yankee fan had reached in and grabs Abreu's glove. Now, I know it's fast moving and everything's happening, but look, I can't call the dugout and say, hey, you may want to get a challenge on that, because if you could change that from a home run to a double, how does that change the game? How does that change? Because I don't know what the rules would be. Maybe I need to call Lou Maloney. I don't think he's going to pick up at 11:25 on a Sunday. But if a guy goes in, seemingly catches the ball, but the ump has not been able to come and make the decision, but the ball's out of the glove, but the fan touches the player's glove, like actively, not like bumps into it, like reaches down and grabs his glove, does that make it fan interference? Maybe I just watch baseball games too close. But I'm not going to put the end of that game on Tyler O'Neill. I just can't do it, right? Because first of all, like, why are we getting guys out? Here's Alex Cora on what happened with Jansen and how this even goes back a little bit.
Give me one second on that, KJ.
Yeah, because in the postgame, you talked about, like, hey, this isn't just something that's just happening now. We've seen kind of the effects of these things happening. We've kept an eye on it. Look, you remember in L.A., we're like, why is Jansen coming into this game now? And at the time, part of the conversation was like, is Cora putting people in this game to make a statement to management? Like, damn it, do something. You know, like, so, but then we would find out that, hey, Jansen doesn't pitch in Colorado, so he was able to get that work in. And I would say, was that work really necessary in Los Angeles, knowing that he wasn't going to pitch in Denver, but you're going to need him two nights in a row? Like, could you have saved him from going into that Dodgers game? Here's Alex Cora, and listen to what Alex Cora talks about how far some of these things kind of go back with Jansen.
I mean, not really. You know, he is who he is, and I know lefties have hit him probably better, right, since the Miami series. But overall, I mean, that's an out in any other place, right? Just we play here. That's it.
Since the Miami series? The Miami series? Really? So it isn't just my eyes. Look, I can see what Cora's saying. Hey, it is what it is. But this is why that Tuesday deadline is like, okay, what it is we probably need to get another reliever who can play as a setup but also can double as a closer. Because if we're looking at a team that's just going to say, hey, it's all going to be in Jansen's hands, and we've seen slippage since the Marlins series, how many games ago? The Marlins, then the Yankees series, then the A's series, then the Royals series, then the Dodgers series, didn't play in the Colorado series. You've seen this back since the Miami series? And that was a sweep by the Red Sox. So I looked up the area for getting a closer now at this point. It feels like A, it could be a bit late in the game, and B, who's going to give up a closer at this point now without asking for a bunch? But in fairness to the Red Sox, here's the thing. If we saw, let's just say that Jansen was able to play in Colorado and performed well, I probably would not be on this soapbox about what I've seen with Jansen here, especially last night and a couple other times recently. But if he showed well in Denver and then came here, I was like, okay, well, you know what? Altitude to coming back, maybe you feel there's something a little bit different. You know, you're coming out of a situation where You lost two out of three games, so maybe the one game you did come in, you were lights out. Okay. But if these things happen, but it's against your division rival, and the Yankees have only now won 10 of their last 33, this is the time that you have to take advantage. If the Red Sox were going for a sweep tonight, we'd be talking about a team that's a game and a half behind the Yankees and what, a 2.5 games behind the Orioles? Now we'd be having a different conversation about what you would give up and what you could go get versus kind of doing the piecemeal of kind of like, you know, the Danny Jensen pickup where you're like, okay, is that another catcher that provides you a bat? And if that's a bat, it's going to be a piecemeal bat, maybe a bat that you bring in you don't have to have as a catcher. You know, what does that mean for Reese McGuire? What really went on with that fight in Colorado afterwards? I don't think it affects Connor Wong because you can't knock what Connor Wong has produced this year. So what do you do? Do you go get Tanner Scott out of Miami, the left-hander reliever? But the Yankees want him. The Orioles want him. So now you're probably going to have to give up more if you want to get him at least. But a lefty out of the pen? Hey, that answers some of the watch this. Lefty questions out of the pen.
You know, not great.
Yeah. Look, this is kind of selfish on my part as well, because what were the expectations really of the Red Sox at the beginning of the season by the fans? Less than. Like, they would even tell you, like, you know, if you multiply two negative numbers, you do get a positive number. No, they were like, no, this is all negative addition. Like, negative plus a negative equals a bigger negative. And we didn't get that. Cora cashes in on a check extension. Did you see that coming? We were thinking like, hey, don't make the right moves at the extension, at the deadline, at trade deadline. Cora's gone. But you get Cora signed. So that tells me that there's got to be conversation of potentially there's going to be a bigger than small move that this team does that says, okay, they're making a move to make a real run. What does that move look like in the last 2 days? Is Vlad Guerrero is he still available for phone calls with Toronto? They have been peeling people off. And at least you know they've been on the phone with Toronto because you got Jensen over here. Do you go after Yandy Diaz in Tampa? They already got rid of, they've sent a Rosarena to Seattle, and Seattle's making moves, and they're 2.5 games behind the Red Sox in this wild card chase, or actually a game and a half behind. So they're making moves, but I think Seattle's making more of those moves to make a run to win the NL West, with the worst case scenario is getting a final wild card spot, maybe even the second one. But if you're the Red Sox, you can't see all this activity going on around you and not at least make some type of real-time move, because this is the whole conversation about why Haim isn't here anymore and what is Craig Breslow going to do when situations like this arrive. Well, the first one was you got Alex Cora signed. But that shouldn't be the last thing, because in baseball, there's no guarantee that you're going to get back to these positions. And what Alex Cora has shown now at least two or three times, a super under-talented team has overperformed. How many times is that going to happen? Like, aren't you just taking for granted what the manager can do in the room? And that's my concern, is how many times do you dance with fate without making a move and saying, you know what, we've got to go and show and prove our words. You've done it by signing Cora to the extension. Now, what do you do in terms of going to get players? Look, Tuesday, 4 o'clock here on WEEI, you probably don't even want to turn your head. Or, you know what I mean? You probably, all the radios, like back in the day, you used to turn all the radios in a, when I used to work at Best Buy, I would always turn all the radios to the station that I worked at over in the stereo department just because I wanted my job to like me more. Please pay me. I'm kidding. But yeah, you don't want to turn your head when it come Tuesday around 4 o'clock, because if nothing big has happened yet, man, something big better happen by like 4:30. You almost feel like do they still fax the paperwork into New York? You send the fax over. That the fax machine is out of paper at 5:50. and someone's scurrying to make sure a deal gets done because they've run out of paper. I have a 10% reservation inside of me that the Red Sox still have a big deal ready to do, and that's tied to signing Alex Cora to the extension. KJWEEI, 617-779-3793-7. We'll get to some of the breaking news on the moving parts in Major League Baseball. Let's go to John in Walpole. John, thanks for the call, talking Red Sox.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, John. Thanks for the call.
I just wanted to point out, sorry, you were talking about the Willie Abreu attempted home run robbery a few minutes ago.
Yes.
And how you mentioned that a Yankees fan touched his glove, and you admitted you weren't sure, but that it might have been interference, and maybe they should have looked into challenging it.
Say that last part again. My phone might break it up.
And that if you said that it might have been fan interference, and that they maybe wanted to look into challenging that, possibly making a double instead of a home run.
Yeah, because the play hadn't been determined just yet. What are your thoughts?
No, okay, but here's the thing. Abreu is about three rows into the stands at that point. The fan can do whatever he wants.
He can rip the ball right out of his glove. He can grab the fan's glove. That's perfectly to rip the fan's glove. To touch the player's glove, to actively go and to go for his glove, for his equipment?
Yeah, well, once the player is into the stands, the fans are allowed to interfere. Fan interference when you reach onto the field.
Yeah, that's true. I can see that. But can you still touch the player's equipment? Like, could you knock off his hat? Would you be allowed to do that?
You might be able to say that fan was, like, inappropriate in doing that, but it wouldn't affect the play on the field. Like, maybe they could send him out of the stadium for, you know, intentionally doing that, but
and
in
before
terms of changing the call, no.
And before the call is made?
You can slap a guy's glove if it's in the stands and you're trying to help your team. You absolutely can do that.
All right, well, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I mean, that's a real possibility. I would have taken the chance. You know, so that's the other part of it. I would have taken the chance and run a replay on it just to look at the whole play. Because if the play wasn't determined just yet, you know, like could you knock off a player's hat? Can you, you know, pull on, you know, tug on their jersey if they jump in the stands? Because it's all part of the equipment, right? It's that the glove is part of the equipment. Now, if the glove comes off and you smack the glove away, yeah, that's where the ball is. I totally get it. The ball had already come loose, okay? But if you're telling me that, let's say his hand is, Obreo's hand is still open in the glove, the play hasn't been determined, and a fan reaches in and grabs the ball, would that be interference? Because that's the thing. The fan is touching the player proactively than reactionary. It's different than, hey, I'm trying to catch the guy and to prevent him from falling back. I'm not trying to be an active participant in the play. But if you're trying to be an active participant in the play, forward, you know, it's like stand your ground, right? If you stand your ground and catch the guy, okay, good. If the ball falls out, it's not on you. But if the guy's going back and you smack his glove proactively, I would at least try and challenge that and see what happens. I don't have the rule book in front of me. I am watching the Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle thing on Max. It's pretty fascinating. You're talking about rule breaking. But yeah, I don't know. But thanks, John, for the call, because it's one of those, I think that falls into a gray area, right? It's reaching over the field. Yes, obviously, because you're reaching into the field of play. But can you actively go after a player's equipment while they're in the stands? I don't know these things. I don't know everything. I know some things. So if you're the Red Sox, you're like, okay, you need another arm in that pen. You need the right-handed bat. Rays are still making moves, but they have a pitcher coming in. So that means that maybe they're thinking, whatever we have right now left, we're keeping. So that could take Yandy Diaz off the table. Yandy Diaz could give you, he could play first, he could play third for you. He's a right-handed bat. Issue is, a little bit pricey, and you would have control through 26. So you might be, if your plan is, say, we're going to stick with Casas, we're going to give him his extension. I don't know if you want to pay, you know, somewhere around $15 million a year for a platoon first baseman. That's probably just not financially feasible. So find that other right-hand bat beyond Jensen, because that doesn't scream, yeah, that's the answer. And now what's happening with the back of the rotation in terms of the relievers and the middle relievers, oh, you definitely are screaming help in that area. All right, still to come. Would you rather, more likely to, either or, plus your calls, 617-779-7937, text 37937, KJWEEI. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday here.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Let that rock, Jacob. WEEI is here. He's born in the week of greatness, people. He's born there. Good Sunday to you. It's KJ on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're about 3 minutes away from would you rather, more likely to, either or. Jerry Garcia, born in the week of greatness. Jerry Garcia and I have the same birthday, 8-1. Though if you've seen my size over the years, you probably, he's eaten more than one. So the week of greatness, you missed that. Foreign athlete or foreign actor, all of that, Odyssey app, it's free. Just type it, W-E-E-I. In fact, it's got a little heart there. You click the little heart, it saves it. So next time you go to the Odyssey app, it'll say, hey, you were just here. You can go back, listen to all the shows, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, mistake by mistake. I admit, when I make mistakes, and I made a mistake, I said that the Rays were acquiring people, but they actually gave up Jason Adam, reliever, to San Diego. So Tampa's still selling players. I think they're just one of those who's saying, you know what, we're not going to do this inside of our division. They're like a Rosarena, Seattle. Adam now to the Padres. So they're like, send him as far away as possible. But Toronto did get on the phone with you, Boston. And I wonder, and I just, maybe this is just the, what's your Christmas wish thing, if you will? Vladimir Guerrero's on there on the phone about Vladimir Guerrero. Then you don't have to worry about who can hit against right-handed or left-handed pitching. If it means that they'll take Yoshida's contract and it gives you the room to navigate just in case Casas doesn't come to a deal, I think you've got a very fair situation. And while it might be a rental situation, it would be a very good rental. Like if you rent down on the Vineyard, that's not a bad thing. But if you just say, I'm just going to buy a house really towards the end and it's got a lot of beach erosion, I don't know if you buy that house. Yeah, the Red Sox trade deadline Tuesday, the noise needs to start happening this afternoon, or really tonight, maybe even during the Yankees game, that gives this energy that goes through the stadium like, okay, the franchise is for real again about putting this team and making it competitive actively. Because that's been the conversation the last 3 years. Like, do they really want to put an active, competitive team out there? You've let key pieces go. Trevor Story, has he had 400 at-bats yet? I know he's in season three. Has he been up to the plate 400 times? I don't even think so. So you've got all these things, and you almost have to say, you probably have to start thinking about how you're going to move Trevor Story down the line, because you're wondering if he can't come back from the arm situation. And there had been arm situations before with him. That's just too much to pay for DH. Like, you might as well say, okay, is there a way we can move him down the road? You want to see what he's got when he comes back. That's just such an albatross around the neck, where you might be able to say, we can go get Vlad Guerrero right now for probably close to the AAV of what you're giving Trevor Story, maybe a little bit more. When you know you're not, like, Trevor Story is now the Gordon Hayward of the Red Sox. It just feels that way. So I believe, there's a 10% of me that believes, there's a big deal in store for the Red Sox within the next 18 hours. Like, just to be more specific. Like, I don't think it's going to happen like right at 6. But I think if it happens in the middle of the game tonight with the Yankees and it becomes the conversation, that just gives even more momentum. And it probably points out, because you don't think the Yankees couldn't use a right-handed bat at first to protect Soto and Judge and put another bat in there? Who knows? Look, we're not behind those closed doors, but I would be really excited if the Red Sox and the Yankees are going head-to-head for big-name player and the Red Sox are still being considered based upon some of the 5, 6, 7 ranked prospects that you might be able to give up because your double-A prospects are outshining your triple-A ones. And some of the triple-A guys have already been up here and are back down there. So the Red Sox have some room. Also, the conversation we had about Jaylen Brown responding to Grant Hill's comments about USA team basketball, it's just really tough to hear these two brilliant guys kind of go at each other by proxy through the media. Like, those two guys will never win out of all this. But I'm sure Grant Hill can't talk to Jaylen Brown right now, man-to-man, face-to-face, because, well, one, Grant Hill's over in Paris. But two, better for these guys to have that conversation with each other than through others, and we're having the conversation of what's happening. Thanks to Tom Carroll. He's one of our newest here at WEEI.com, part of the digital content team, covering the Patriots down at Foxborough for the training camp. It's day four today. And look, I give it to Gerard Mayo, and this is what I was saying earlier, and this is what you can go back and listen to, is that this guy at least is at a point where he's relating to the players, and you felt like there was this kind of disconnect that was growing with Belichick as the lead, almost kind of like, what I say goes, and that's okay if you're the head coach, but I'm also the person who decides if you're part of personnel in terms of signing, and that's kind of a control situation. And then what we saw that became even worse is your coaching staff NFL level in terms of preparation and doing the job? And over the last couple of years, the answer's been no. Like, who would have ever thought that, gosh, that all the assistants would fall apart once Josh McDaniels left here? Like, you're like, felt like, please, no, not Josh McDaniels be the successor. But at least, you know, if there was a new quarterback coming in, you felt good about Josh McDaniels handling that situation. Once McDaniels left, it's like everything fell apart in terms of the coaching staff. We talked about, like, where does Judon's flexibility feel like in this team? Is Mayo potentially the guy who's stepping in as the leader of the locker room? If Judon is a guy that goes as a trade chip, I mean, look, the highest value right now on Judon for other teams, probably for the Patriots, probably right now. Some high contender team, maybe like the 49ers or even someone like the Eagles, you could see try make a play. What if there's a contract situation where they can't get things together in Dallas with their defense? Do they make a play for Judon? So Judon could be one of those desires of one of these high-level teams where in return you can get players that you can get in the future, and that might be something that's advantageous for you if you're the Patriots. All right, 37937, we'll get to a couple of text messages, and then would you rather more likely to either tour? Jacob, what you got?
So I have, let's see, somebody confirming the call saying interference is called if a spectator comes into contact with a batted or thrown ball without reaching onto the field of play, even if a fielder might have caught the ball had the spectator not been there.
Say read that again, because that's what my ears.
Interference is called if a spectator comes into contact with a batted or thrown ball without reaching onto the field of play.
Gotcha. So whatever goes on in the stands goes.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Maybe I guess my civilization thing, like, why are you touching the player like that? Like, why? Like, because I would turn around and fight. Maybe that's just me. Like, you grab my glove. So yeah, okay, perfect. You know, because again, like, I'm the first person to tell you that I don't know everything, but it's something I was like, maybe they don't know the rule, right? And you check it. All right, next text.
Let's see. We have some Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
I went to two games this year and watched Jaylen Brown walk off the court during the national anthem twice. Maybe that had something to do with him not being left off the Team USA roster.
Okay, that's fair. And if that's the case, then if you're USA basketball, you say, like, we just chose him. We're not choosing him for the reasons that have nothing to do with basketball. After that, it's none of your business. But if you're saying it's because of basketball, it's not really making a whole lot of sense. So I would just say, be bold. Be American. Say it has very little to do with basketball, and it has to do with other things, not with basketball, that we're not free, that we don't want to discuss. We don't have to. Just the same way, if it has to do with, you know, I don't know, if he didn't pay his car insurance, I don't have to tell you that. I mean, I'm sure that's not it. But if that's what it is, and it becomes a national story, then yeah, that's a conversation you have, and all you say is because of, for non-sports reasons, we're just not, you know, we're not going that route. You could say that. Right, because is there not somebody on the women's team who's done something similar to that? So that's where it gets kind of foggy, right? It's like if a person on the women's team who's done that and is over there and you're concerned about it with Jaylen Brown, are you concerned about the both of them? Right? It's like chewing gum. Either everybody gets it or nobody gets it. All right, one more text and then we'll do Would You Rather.
The Yankees have a chemistry issue. Jazz is a good young player, but I don't think his personality will mesh in that clubhouse.
Aaron, I got to give Aaron Judge a lot of credit more than Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone is just kind of like he is like trying to drive SpongeBob's ship underwater. And I think they have to know in New York, he's not the guy. He's not a calming influence over that team. I think if Judge gets to Chisholm and talks to Chisholm and where they put Chisholm in the lineup, if they put him at the top of the lineup, I think he's got like 23 stolen bases, and then Judge at the two spot, and then Soto at the three? Oh, dear God. Or Soto at the two? If you put Soto at the two?
I would say that Aaron Judge is more of a manager than Aaron
Boone. He is. He's more of the manager, because think about it. When Juan Soto got thrown out at home last night and overran his third base coach, you looked at Aaron Judge, he gave a slight, you know what I mean, like a little bit of a slight response to what had happened, but didn't lose his cool about what happened. That's a leadership situation there where you say, you know what, clearly the guy was telling you to stop at third, but you went through it. Aaron Judge is probably like, you know what, I'll deal with it when we get into the dugout, and we'll just talk about it, just like, hey, probably the energy of the play, I might have done the same thing too. Where with Aaron Boone, he's probably like, you know, if I say anything to him, the whole press is going to wonder, will Juan Soto decide to stay with his because of his relationship with Aaron Boone? So the Aaron Judge is more of the leader there. All right. Wait. Oh, gosh, we're out of time. This is the first time ever we will miss Would You Rather More Likely To. There are people throwing tomatoes at the radio right now. But, hey, we'll just do it next time. Have a great Sunday. Shime and Heart next. Don't forget, here first pitch, 7:15. Red Sox-Yankees rubber match pregame starts at 6:10. Have a great Sunday. Thanks a lot again, Jacob. See you.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Let that rock, Jacob. WEEI is here. He's born in the week of greatness, people. He's born there. Good Sunday to you. It's KJ on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're about 3 minutes away from Would You Rather More Likely To, either or. Jerry Garcia, born in the week of greatness. Jerry Garcia and I have the same birthday, 8-1. Though if you've seen my size over the years, he's eaten more than one. So the week of greatness, you missed that. Foreign athlete or foreign actor, all of that, Odyssey app, it's free. Just type it, WEEI. In fact, it's got a little heart there. You click the little heart, it saves it. So next time you go to the Odyssey app, it'll say, hey, you were just here. You can go back, listen to all the shows chapter by chapter, verse by verse, mistake by mistake. I admit when I make mistakes, and I made a mistake, I said that the Rays were acquiring people, but they actually gave up Jason Adam, reliever, to San Diego. So Tampa's still selling players. I think they're just one of those who's saying, you know what, we're not going to do this inside of our division. They're like a Rosarena, Seattle. Adam now to the Padres. So they're like, send him as far away as possible. But Toronto did get on the phone with you, Boston. And I wonder, and I just, maybe this is just the, what's your Christmas wish thing, if you will? Vladimir Guerrero's on. You're on the phone about Vladimir Guerrero. Then you don't have to worry about who can hit against right-handed or left-handed pitching. If it means that they'll take Yoshida's contract and it gives you the room to navigate just in case Casas doesn't come to a deal, I think you've got a very fair situation. And while it might be a rental situation, it would be a very good rental. Like, if you rent down on the Vineyard, that's not a bad thing. But if you just say, I'm just going to buy a house really towards the end, and it's got a lot of beach erosion, I don't know if you buy that house. Yeah, the Red Sox trade deadline Tuesday. The noise needs to start happening this afternoon, or really tonight. Maybe even during the Yankees game that gives this energy that goes through the stadium like, okay, the franchise is for real again about putting this team and making it competitive actively. Because that's been the conversation the last 3 years. Like, do they really want to put an active, competitive team out there? You've let key pieces go. Trevor Story, has he had 400 at-bats yet? I know he's in season three. Has he been up to the plate 400 times? I don't even think so. So you've got all these things, and you almost have to say, you probably have to start thinking about how you're going to move Trevor Story down the line, because you're wondering if he can't come back from the arm situation. And there had been arm situations before with him. That's just too much to pay for DH. Like, you might as well say, okay, is there a way we can move him down the road? You want to see what he's got when he comes back. That's just such an albatross around the neck, where you might be able to say, we can go get Vlad Guerrero right now for probably close to the AAV of what you're giving Trevor Story, maybe a little bit more. When you know you're not, like, Trevor Story is now the Gordon Hayward of the Red Sox. It just feels that way. So I believe, there's a 10% of me that believes, there is a big deal in store for the Red Sox within the next 18 hours. Like, just to be more specific. Like, I don't think it's going to happen, like, right at 6. But I think if it happens in the middle of the game tonight with the Yankees and it becomes the conversation, that just gives even more momentum. And it probably points out, because you don't think the Yankees couldn't use a right-handed bat at first to protect Soto and Judge and put another bat in there? Who knows? Look, we're not behind those closed doors, but I would be really excited if the Red Sox and the Yankees are going head-to-head for big-name player and the Red Sox are still being considered based upon some of the 5, 6, 7 ranked prospects that you might be able to give up because your double-A prospects are outshining your triple-A ones. And some of the triple-A guys have already been up here and are back down there. So the Red Sox have some room. Also, the conversation we had about Jaylen Brown responding to Grant Hill's comments about USA team basketball. It's just really tough to hear these two brilliant guys kind of go at each other by proxy through the media. Like, those two guys will never win out of all this. But I'm sure Grant Hill can't talk to Jaylen Brown right now, man-to-man, face-to-face, because, well, one, Grant Hill's over in Paris. But two, better for these guys to have that conversation with each other than through others, and we're having the conversation of what's happening. Thanks to Tom Carroll. He's one of our newest here at WEEI.com, part of the digital content team, covering the Patriots down at Foxborough for the training camp. It's day 4 today. And look, I give it to Gerard Mayo, and this is what I was saying earlier, and this is what you can go back and listen to, is that this guy at least is at a point where he's relating to the players, and you felt like there was this kind of disconnect that was growing with Belichick as the lead, almost kind of like, what I say goes, and that's okay if you're the head coach, but I'm also the person who decides if you're part of personnel in terms of signing. And that's kind of a control situation. And then what we saw that became even worse is your coaching staff NFL level in terms of preparation and doing the job? And over the last couple of years, the answer's been no. Like, who would have ever thought that, gosh, that all the assistants would fall apart once Josh McDaniels left here? Like, you're like, felt like, please, no, not Josh McDaniels be the successor. But at least you know if there was a new quarterback coming in, you felt good about Josh McDaniels handling that situation. Once McDaniels left, it's like everything fell apart in terms of the coaching staff. We talked about, like, where does Judon's flexibility feel like in this team? Is Mayo potentially the guy who's stepping in as the leader of the locker room if Judon is a guy that goes as a trade chip? I mean, look, the highest value right now in Judon for other teams, probably for the Patriots, probably right now. Some high contender team, maybe like the 49ers or even someone like the Eagles, you could see try make a play. What if there's a contract situation where they can't get things together in Dallas with their defense? Do they make a play for Judon? So Judon could be one of those desires of one of these high-level teams, where in return you can get players that you can get in the future And that might be something that's advantageous for you if you're the Patriots. All right, 37937. We'll get to a couple of text messages, and then would you rather more likely to either tour? Jacob, what you got?
So I have, let's see, somebody confirming the call saying interference is called if a spectator comes into contact with a batted or thrown ball without reaching onto the field of play, even if a fielder might have caught the ball had the spectator not been there.
Say read that again, because that's what my ears.
Interference is called if a spectator comes into contact with a batted or thrown ball without reaching onto the field of play.
Gotcha. So whatever goes on in the stands goes.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Maybe I guess my civilization thing, like, why are you touching the player like that? Like, why? Like, because I would turn around and fight. Maybe that's just me. Like, you grab my glove. So yeah, okay, perfect. You know, because again, like, I'm the first person to tell you that I don't know everything, but it's something I was like, maybe they don't know the rule, right? And you check it. All right, next text.
Let's see. We have some Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
I went to 2 games this year and watched Jaylen Brown walk off the court during the national anthem twice. Maybe that had something to do with him not being left off the Team USA roster.
Okay, that's fair. And if that's the case, then if you're USA basketball, you say, like, we just chose him. We're not choosing him for the reasons that have nothing to do with basketball. After that, it's none of your business. But if you're saying it's because of basketball, it's not really making a whole lot of sense. So I would just say, be bold. Be American. Say it has very little to do with basketball, and it has to do with other things, not with basketball, that we're not free, that we don't want to discuss. We don't have to. Just the same way, if it has to do with, you know, I don't know. If he didn't pay his car insurance, I don't have to tell you that. I mean, I'm sure that's not it. But if that's what it is and it becomes a national story, then yeah, that's a conversation you have. And all you say is for non-sports reasons, we're just not, you know, we're not going that route. You could say that, right? Because is there not somebody on the women's team who's done something similar to that? So that's where it gets kind of foggy, right? It's like, if a person on the women's team who's done that and is over there, and you're concerned about it with Jaylen Brown, are you concerned about the both of them? Right? It's like chewing gum. Either everybody gets it or nobody gets it. All right, one more text and then we'll do Would You Rather.
The Yankees have a chemistry issue. Jazz is a good young player, but I don't think his personality will mesh in that clubhouse.
Aaron, I got to give Aaron Judge a lot of credit more than Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone is just kind of like he is like trying to drive SpongeBob's ship underwater. And I think they have to know in New York, he's not the guy. He's not a calming influence over that team. I think if Judge gets to Chisholm and talks to Chisholm and where they put Chisholm in the lineup, if they put him at the top of the lineup, I think he's got like 23 stolen bases, and then Judge at the 2 spot and then Soto at the 3. Oh, dear God. Or Soto at the 2? If you put Soto at the 2?
I would say that Aaron Judge is more of a manager than Aaron
Boone. He is. He's more of the manager. Because think about it. When Juan Soto got thrown out at home last night and overran his third base coach, you looked at Aaron Judge, he gave a slight, you know what I mean, like a little bit of a slight response to what had happened, but didn't lose his cool about what happened. That's a leadership situation there where you say, you know what? Clearly the guy was telling you to stop at third, but you went through it. Aaron Judge is probably like, you know what? I'll deal with it when we get into the dugout, and we'll just talk about it. Just like, hey, probably the energy of the play, I might have done the same thing too. Where with Aaron Boone, he's probably like, you know what? If I say anything to him, the whole press is going to wonder, will Juan Soto decide to stay with because of his relationship with Aaron Boone? So the Aaron Judge is more of the leader there. All right. Wait. Oh, gosh, we're out of time. This is the first time ever we will miss Would You Rather More Likely To. There are people throwing tomatoes at the radio right now. But, hey, we'll just do it next time. Have a great Sunday. Shine and heart next. Don't forget, here first pitch, 7:15. Red Sox-Yankees rubber match pregame starts at 6:10. Have a great Sunday. Thanks a lot again, Jacob. See you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.